today. Complete obituary information is available to you on our website at butlerradio.com.
When you sit down and really consider your priorities, your family and health are tied for first place and are directly related to each other. Have you thought about how everyone in your family and even your extended family would be affected if someone died? At the Martin Funeral Home, they are prepared to help the entire family through these life changes. No doubt, the death of a loved one is devastating, and the grieving process varies from person to person. All death-related business matters are handled personally by a member of the Martin family, either Ross or his son Tom Martin. For personal preference at a funeral home, let the Martin Funeral Home handle everything. The Martin Funeral Home, located on Center Avenue in Butler.
Oh, we do have some clouds today, but enjoy the near 60-degree temperatures. Tonight, maybe a shower in the forecast with a low down to 42, and then tomorrow some clouds with a high of 43. Wednesday, some rain showers possible with a high of 48 degrees, and then Thursday, rain showers, a high of 56. We're currently at 55 right now in downtown Butler. I'm Tracy Morgan in the Next Tier Bank studios. Next Tier Bank, your hometown community bank. News time, 12:30. Dave Malarkey's up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks for joining us, and have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. Open talk to begin the program today. Wow, can you imagine a nicer day in February? Especially in early February. I mean, even in late February, sunshine with temperatures pushing up towards 60 degrees at the noon hour would be incredible. But early February, that's pretty good. It has happened before, many, many years ago. I recall when February 2nd fell on a Saturday, we played the Groundhog Day Open at Foxburg Country Club because it was so warm, and all the snow had melted. That was one time only. So it's pretty unusual. Enjoy it while we have it. We've got milder temperatures this week. It's hard to believe, isn't it, that just a few days ago, we were at 8 below zero with a wind chill of minus 23. That was, what, Thursday? Yeah, it was Thursday. It was the coldest day. Wednesday was below zero, too, but last Thursday, and here we are with 60 degrees, or almost 60 degrees, and sunshine all over the place. Snow is melting. We softened it up a little bit yesterday with temperatures in the mid-50s. We're melting a good bit of it today because we've got sunshine added in. Well, enjoy. And if you're a winter person, you like the snow, don't worry. There'll be more of it. Despite what Punxsutawney Phil said, or supposedly said, on Saturday. Nice to have you with us today. A little bit later on the program, we're going to be talking with Karen Kingsbury. Karen is a New York Times bestselling author. She's a family author. We've talked to her in the past. She's now teamed up with her adult son, Tyler Russell, for a new book called The Best Family Ever. And it's a book that tells childhood stories. Very heartwarming. We'll chat with Karen Kingsbury a little bit later on the program today. And also a chat for a few minutes with Patrice Sims from the Earth Justice Organization. That's an environmental lobbying group. So that's all coming up later on the program today, but it's open talk to begin with at 283-2525. 283-2525. Well, Our annual American celebration of excess is over. Speaking of Super Bowl weekend, is there anything that's more overblown than the Super Bowl? I have developed a great technique, though, for avoiding getting all bent out of shape. I just don't pay any attention. In the week before the Super Bowl, to all the interviews, the media day, yada, yada. And I don't watch any of the warm-ups. Last night, I turned my TV on at precisely 6:30, and they were lining up for the kickoff. It was perfect. I didn't see any of the pregame stuff. I guess they had a military flyover. I was talking about that with my colleague Kate last week, and I said, well, I don't know whether they're going to do that or not, because, number one, that's a domed stadium, and number two, game starts at 6:30. It's going to be dark, isn't it, in Atlanta? Well, I don't know. They must have opened the stadium, opened the roof, and then closed it again. Maybe they did it early. I wasn't watching, so I don't know. But they had videotape of it. They played a couple of times and didn't look like it was dark yet. But Atlanta's, you know, pretty much due south of us, right? If anything, it's just a tad further to the east, which means it would get dark a few minutes earlier in Atlanta than it does here. But it's a weekend of tremendous success. And I mean, it's just so ostentatious, it just blows my mind. I had a fascinating experience at a halftime yesterday. I haven't watched the halftime show for years because I just think it's silly. First of all, it's way too long. Last night's halftime break was 32 minutes. I clocked it. I looked at my clock whenever it started, and 32 minutes later, they kicked off for the second half. But, I turned the sound off. I left the TV on, and I sat and watched it with the sound off. And if you ever want to see something ridiculous, watch hundreds of people jumping around. They feel like they have to bring hundreds of people onto the field now to jump around and wave their arms. And I'd never heard of the performers. Big Boy, was that it? Big Boy was one. I thought that was a hamburger. And that is some guy in a mink coat. Maybe that was Big Boy. I have no idea. And then a group called Maroon 5, which I'm not familiar with either. And those guys were jumping around like crazy, taking their shirts off and throwing them into the crowd. To watch it without the sound on was absolutely phenomenal. It was just ridiculous. Anybody from Mars would think we had lost our minds. What, is this a football game? Well, I'm not sure. Crazy, huh? Yeah. So what did you think of the game? All in all, it was pretty boring, you know. These were two of the highest scoring teams in pro football, and they teamed up for the lowest points in a Super Bowl ever. And this was the 53rd year. There had never been a Super Bowl with fewer points scored. It was 3-0 New England at halftime. It was 3-3 after three quarters. And then Tom Brady, as he has done how many times, goodness gracious, led the Patriots down the field to the winning touchdown with something like seven minutes left. You really expect it, don't you? I mean, whether you hate the guy or not, and I know there's a lot of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and New England Patriot haters here in western Pennsylvania. Whether you hate him or not, you got to tip your cap. I mean, it's an incredible run. That's the third straight year that the New England Patriots have been in the Super Bowl. 3 years in a row. And they've been in it something like, I don't know, 8 out of the last 10 or something. It's a phenomenal record. It really is. So whether you like them or not, okay, go get them. Yeah. Greater than the Steeler dynasty of the 70s? I hate to admit it, but I think so. I mean, the Steelers were able to win 4 Super Bowls in 6 years, but that was before free agency. They were able to keep the same team together They didn't have to worry about Lynn Stallworth deciding he wanted to go play with the San Francisco 49ers. Know who I'm talking about, don't you? They didn't have to worry about Ron Stallworth running off or Terry Bradshaw or Jack Lambert. They were Steelers. There was no free agency then. They made some good draft picks and added to the team over that period, but you know, Belichick is doing it during the free agency era when, you know, the team has to be remade to some extent every year. I mean, he's had Brady, but other than that, the receivers change, the running backs change. I think it doesn't change as the Patriots still winning. I did see a survey this morning that indicated that the New England Patriots are the least popular dynasty in professional sports over the last 35 years. It doesn't surprise me. Open talk at 283-2525, 283-2525. Do you watch the Super Bowl or don't you care? Like 5 billion people in China who have no idea what's going on and don't care. Do you? Or do you watch the commercials? I wasn't paying particular attention yesterday. I mean, I had the game on. I watched the whole game, but I didn't pay particular attention to the commercials. I saw a couple of products I'd never heard of before. Some kind of, I guess it's an energy drink called Bev and Viv or something like that. Viv and Bev. Bev and, I never heard of it before. There was something called Mint Mobile, which I guess is a cell phone provider. I never heard of that before either. And there were two ads for Turkish Airlines. I had heard of Turkish Airlines. I had never in my life seen an ad for Turkish Airlines before. The USA Today newspaper always does an ad meter. For the Super Bowl ads, they give a select number of people a meter, and they say what they thought were the best. The number one commercial, according to USA Today's ad meter, was the NFL's commercial, celebrating 100 years of the National Football League. And this is the one that featured, well, first of all, it was 2 minutes long. I guess the NFL didn't have to pay for it, right? I don't know. Is that considered like a promotional announcement? But it had so many former players, current players. Mean Joe Green was there. Franco Harris, of course. They were crashing through a banquet hall trying to catch a football that was being tossed around. And, of course, they showed Franco bending down, picking it right off his shoe tops. As happened in the playoff game with the Oakland Raiders way, way back in the, it was back in the 70s, right? Yeah, back in the 70s. I thought I had seen that before. Like in a local commercial, maybe, for something in Pittsburgh. I'm thinking a couple of years ago. Does anybody else remember that? See, when I saw it, I knew right away it was going to be Franco, and before the camera tilted up and you saw his face. But I'm thinking, I saw that somewhere before. I don't know. Maybe it was an expanded commercial from the past. Maybe they got the idea for this thing from that Franco commercial. I'm not sure. But it was good. It was extremely well edited. And it was 2 minutes of nonstop action. You almost couldn't follow it. It was so fast. You know, you say, wow. Was that Deion Sanders, you know? Was that Peyton Manning? Was that Marshawn Lynch? They were all in there. That was the number one commercial, according to the USA Today's ad meter. The number two commercial was for Amazon Alexa, where Harrison Ford was trying to convince his dog to stop ordering dog food from Alexa. I saw it. In fact, I think it was on a couple of times. Okay, I guess. I'm not sure. Number three, according to the USA Today ad meter, was the Microsoft We All Win ad. I don't remember that one at all. I don't think I saw it. Number four was for Hyundai, the automaker, the elevator. Jason Bateman starred as an elevator operator. I'm going to have to pay these big-name actors. What do you think Harrison Ford got for doing that commercial for Amazon? That guy doesn't come cheap, you know. Okay, I remember the elevator commercial. It was okay. And then number five was a Verizon commercial for the coach who wouldn't be here, which was a poignant commercial where a Los Angeles Charger coach, Anthony Lynn, speaks to a group of first responders who saved his life when he was hit by a car some 10 or 15 years ago. So I saw that one, but I wasn't paying that much attention to it. I thought I'd seen that one before. I don't think that was a brand new one. But overall, I didn't think the game was that exciting. I didn't think the commercials were that exciting. And then, of course, we had the sound clips this morning on CBS Radio here on WISR. They do this every year. It doesn't matter whether it's in Philadelphia or Boston or Pittsburgh. They get these drunken guys who, you know, hey, the Patriots, oh, I can't wait to watch them next year. What a worthless sound clip. Why do you even put that on the air? You know, these guys are obviously halfway to the moon, you know, totally inebriated, and they put them on. Oh, well. I have never gone out to celebrate a Steeler victory, gone out into the streets or gone into downtown Pittsburgh or whatever. I guess some people like to do that. And one other note about the commercials. Did you even know there was corn syrup in some light beers? Huh? I didn't either. It seemed to me that the commercials were aimed at a much younger demographic. You know, like millennials and maybe even younger. There were a lot of robots. There were a lot of commercials, you know, with the artificial intelligence themes. I just didn't do it for me. But hey, watch the game. And I can't say that I was rooting for either team. I didn't really care. I was not particularly disturbed by the fact that New England won because I didn't think the Rams belonged there. If they'd have won the Super Bowl, imagine what the people in New Orleans would have been saying. You know? Because obviously they didn't belong there. They should have lost that game, except for the ref's non-call. It should have been New Orleans against New England, and who knows how that would have gone. Somehow I doubt that there would have been so few points with Drew Brees firing the biscuit, but who knows. So I don't have anything against Los Angeles. I don't think they should have been there. So I think it would have been a travesty if they had won. Of course, the flip side of that is if they don't win, it means New England does, and then New England ties the Steelers for the most Super Bowl wins in history. They both have six now. I remember when the Steelers were going for five. Remember that phrase? One for the thumb. Remember that? One for the thumb, which they got, and then another one under Mike Tomlin. That's the other thing that I think makes the Patriot dynasty bigger than the Steelers. I hate to say that, but the Steelers not only did it before free agency when it was easier to keep a team together, but the Steelers won their six Lombardi trophies, their six Super Bowls, under three different coaches and different quarterbacks. Two different quarterbacks, three different coaches. New England has done it all under the same coach and the same quarterback. Tom Brady's been the quarterback for all six of the New England Patriot wins. Well, we can shut all the hype down for another year and settle back and relax. I think that's it for football, right? There are no more All-Star games, there are no more Senior Bowls or any of that jazz, right? Nothing now until next summer, whenever they start playing the preseason games. Training camp opens at St. Vincent. Time for a little break from football. I think it's certainly time for a break from all of the hoopla. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk on this segment of It's Your Turn. 283-2525. Another big story that was getting play all weekend long. And every time I turned on the news, there was a story about the governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam. Before this story, I could never have named the governor of Virginia. Why would I know? Clinging to office. First saying that he apologized for a racist photo that appeared in his college yearbook. And then that was on Saturday. And then on Sunday saying, well, it's not me. You know, on closer examination, it's not me in that picture. And refusing to resign. And this all has to do with the photo involved had an individual in blackface and then another individual beside him in a Ku Klux Klan outfit. I had an email from an acquaintance of mine who's a little bit older than me, but he noted that when he was a little kid, and I think he said it was back in the 50s, maybe even the early 50s, mid-50s, that he had once performed at an elementary show in blackface. He said he didn't even imagine that there was anything wrong with it at the time. Keep in mind now, this is like 53, 54, I guess. Well, times have changed. I mean, you know, we had the civil rights legislation in the 60s. We have a much greater awareness now. We don't laugh at black people just because of their color, which American society used to do, let's face it. Are you old enough to remember Amos and Andy on TV? Now, actually, it started on radio, I believe. I don't remember that, but I can remember as a little kid seeing Amos and Andy on TV. And it was mocking of black society and black culture. There's no question about it. If you've never seen it, I'm sure there are a couple of episodes on YouTube. You can see how offensive it would have been. But anyway, this acquaintance of mine said, it's fascinating how, thank goodness, society has changed over the decades, that we now realize that this is just something you cannot do, you know. You cannot do. I haven't emailed him back yet, but I can remember when I was a small child. I can't remember exactly how old. I want to say 7, 8, something like that. There were what they called minstrel shows in my hometown. Minstrel shows where men would darken their faces. They appeared in blackface and then did a musical show. Again, somewhat mocking black culture. And, you know, they had these on a regular basis. Anybody old enough to remember those? Minstrel show? Well, things have changed. Thank goodness they've changed, huh? 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave. Sounds like you have an interesting program on today about the Super Bowl.
Did you watch the Super Bowl last night?
Yeah, I watched some of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I turned it off, and then I wanted to watch the middle. I thought they'd have some good entertainment. That, whatever they had on, was absolutely horrible.
I would agree with you. As I said, I turned the sound off. I ordinarily don't even watch it, but I turned the sound off. And it was hilarious to watch these idiots jumping around. It looked like goofballs.
Yeah, and then that guy that came on with that big fur coat, he looked like a goofball, that was for sure.
Ah, I guess that's for the...
That's whenever I turned it off, I thought, okay, I've had enough.
I guess for the younger folks, these are big, you know, they're like rap singers or something, and it's the latest thing, I don't know.
Well, don't they think there's any natural, you know, age people like us that want to watch, you know, maybe some good entertainment? And I don't even know what the name of that stuff was, but it was just awful. And then it looked like down in the audience they were throwing their arms up in the air, so they must have been young people that knew who they were.
Yeah, well, they've done that for a few years now. They bring these hundreds of people onto the field and have them jump up and down. And I can't say that I was offended because I wasn't listening. I had the sound off, but I was laughing my head off. It was just so stupid. Just so silly, you know?
Oh, well, my gosh. I was glad I didn't pay to go there and see that.
All right. Well, I don't think the average person can afford to pay to go to the Super Bowl anymore. I mean, it's just, you know, thousands of dollars for a ticket. It's insane.
Oh, yeah, and then if you want to buy any snacks, that's another couple hundred dollars.
Well, not for me. I'll watch it on TV. Thank you very much.
Well, me too, and thank you, Dave, for letting me talk about it.
Sure, thanks. Nice to have you with us today.
Bye.
We'll take a break. Back with more of It's Your Turn here on WISR in just a moment. One of our sponsors on the program today is Gone Postal Butler, the area's leader for convenient shipping. You simply take the item that you want to ship, give it to them, they handle the rest. They package it up, they label it, they ship it out, bada bing, bada bing. How easy is that? And they can help you with your Valentine's Day shopping, too. They've got a great selection of Flugers chocolates, Valentine's Day cards, and locally produced honey. Delicious. Listen, if you need to ship something for Valentine's Day, and it's the end of next week, it's coming up, your first and only stop is Gone Postal Butler. Shockey Lane, right behind Kings and Villa Grande restaurants and the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, just off Newcastle Road in Butler. For Valentine's Day and any time, it's Gone Postal Butler. Time for a checkup for your pet. We recommend Suburban Animal Clinic. Or maybe Fido or Tabby's not feeling so well. Suburban Animal Clinic, a small animal veterinary practice located Route 8 south of Butler at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive. It's about 5 miles south of Butler. Suburban Animal Clinic, in the spirit of Dr. Dennis Damon. Their services include wellness checks for your pet, of course. Also, emergency care. They have laser therapy, dental available, also prescription diets. You know, one of the things that are problems for a lot of our pets these days, being overweight. Microchipping, they can handle that as well. Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, south of Butler. If you're headed south from Butler toward Pittsburgh, as soon as you pass all the auto dealerships, start looking on your left. That's Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, south at Thorncrest Drive. Going to be talking about another, and gosh, what has become a long series of beloved stories about the Baxter family. Best-selling author Karen Kingsbury is with us, along with her son, Tyler Russell. Karen, Tyler, nice to have you with us again.
Hey, thank you so much. Good to be here.
Thanks for having us.
We've talked with Karen a number of times over the years, but this is the first time we've had Tyler with us, and there's a reason for that, Karen Kingsbury, because your latest effort is called Best Family Ever, and you're drawing on the talents of your son, right?
Yes, I sure am. We are going back to the beginning. We said, what would it be like if we wrote about the Baxters when they were children, when they were ages 6 to 12 and just growing up, and kind of what made the Baxter family the Baxter family? So we thought, let's do a chapter book for the middle grades for, you know, ages 8 to 12, that kind of thing. And I was sort of tapped out on time, so I called on Tyler. I know he's a great writer. We agreed on an outline, and he took that first draft and made it possible.
Tyler, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you have a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree, so you're a good writer, right?
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, I went to Lipscomb University in Nashville, and I got a BFA in directing, actually, in theater, and I did a lot of writing, screenwriting and playwriting in school, And then shortly after school, started working with mom, doing some things for her company, and we started collaborating on some screenplays and adaptations of her novels, and then the opportunity to write together for the series came up, and it's just been such a blast exploring a family that we've known for so long. Mom's been writing about the Baxters, for maybe 20 or so years, and so to be able to go back to when these characters were younger and explore sort of where they came from was a real treat for us, and we had a lot of fun doing it.
I understand that you've been telling stories since you were a little kid, not writing them maybe, but telling them.
That's right, yeah. I mean, even in elementary school, I wrote a short story that won a prize for a national writing contest. So I've always enjoyed it. I think I've been inspired by seeing mom write, and there's no better mentor as far as this all goes. So I'm so grateful to have her. And writing Best Family Ever was just such a pleasure.
Now, Karen, you said this is a book aimed at middle school readers. Is that correct?
Right. It's really, you know, you might be grades 2 to 7, that kind of thing, and then even ages maybe 8 to 12. But, you know, younger readers who are strong readers, it's a chapter book. So if you can read a chapter book, then this book is for you, really. Tyler likes to say it's for kids or it's for the adult with the kid inside them.
But you're also hoping that you can reach adults because they would probably want to share this book with their younger kids.
Absolutely, and I've got a whole generation of readers who are just thrilled that Best Family Ever is coming out, and now they can let their daughters, their sons, their grandkids take a chance to read this too. And I think one of the nice things about Best Family Ever, it's a great title because it's about the Baxters, but it's also going to help your family be the best family ever as you read it together.
So the Baxters, correct me if I'm wrong, there are 5 kids in the family. Am I correct on that?
That's right. We have 4 girls and 1 boy.
And who narrates the stories in Best Family Ever, or do they all narrate?
Well, we really chose 2. So, when they're adults, we get a lot of time with Ashley Baxter and then with Carrie. So we thought, let's go ahead and stick with them. They're 11 and 12, and so we kind of alternate points of view where it might be Carrie. And I would say, you know, in a literary sense, Carrie reminds me of like a Laura Ingalls Wilder, and Ashley reminds me of a Junie B. Jones. You know, she's more spunky and funny, and she can sometimes take the rougher path, but she learns a lot along the way. So, you know, changing points of view is really fun. You really can feel the different characters, which you find in a family. Siblings are not all the same, and you learn from each other.
So this is a little bit of a flashback book, Tyler. You're looking at the kids in the Baxter family at a time earlier than some of the more recent novels, I guess, huh?
Yes, that's right. So it's kind of like, for people who know the Baxter family, it's kind of a prequel and a peek into where they came from, and for people who maybe haven't had the opportunity to meet the Baxter family yet, it's a great introduction, and it's a great way to not only introduce the Baxter family, but a great opportunity to introduce reading to kids and get them inspired and encouraged, because there's so many beautiful messages in this book about family, obviously, because that's such a huge factor in the Baxters, but about being honest and being true to yourself and being a good friend. So it's such a privilege to tell stories to this younger generation and encourage them to be better versions of themselves, and also just encourage imagination and reading because it's so important.
Karen, the story begins shortly before Valentine's Day in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Well, that's pretty topical. Here we are, shortly before Valentine's Day.
Right, that was a good way to be able to begin it. And, you know, it's a family who is 30 years ago. I mean, this is a long time ago, really, and it sort of feels timeless. I think as people are reading it, this generation, our young kids who are reading it are going to go, okay, well, there's no Netflix and there's no cell phones, no one's on a computer, which is beautiful because we can choose that still today. We can turn off the TV, we can put our phones away, and we can read, and we can laugh together and learn together. These Baxters are finding their way. They get through Valentine's Day, and then they get the bombshell, and the bombshell, they're moving. And this is just like earth-shattering. Ashley's first reaction is, well, I'm not going. No, she's 11, so she's going. But they don't even know what to do, that they're having to leave their friends and leave everything they've known behind them, the house, the tree house that they love, But they realize that the best friends they'll ever have are the ones sitting around the dinner table.
Shades of Meet Me in St. Louis. Remember that great Judy Garland movie, Karen, where the family was going to have to move from St. Louis to New York, and all the kids got upset?
Yep, that's exactly. It's, you know, and they say on the average that families move about every 7 years, so most kids can relate to having been through that and what it's like to have to let go of pretty much everything that they know, everything that's familiar, and find out what really matters and learn how to say goodbye.
Yeah, it's hard enough for adults to move. We forget the effect that it can have on kids. So just a couple of the stories that you share. One has to do with one of the kids who is organizing the class party for Valentine's Day. Oh, my, do I remember those back in elementary school, Valentine's Day parties.
Yeah, I mean, Ashley and her best friend Lydia get the opportunity of planning that party, and they take it so seriously, and they're so excited, and then there's a couple rambunctious boys who kind of thwart their plans, you know, so she has to deal with the excitement and disappointment of things not going quite as planned. But that's a good lesson as well, to learn how to deal with some things that don't always go the way that we think that they will.
It's Carrie who's concerned that because there's a boy in the class who has a crush on her, that it might lead to an embarrassing situation at the Valentine's Day party.
You know, and that we kind of drew on that. We have in our family, when Tyler was growing up, one girl and five boys. And I remember when that was Kelsey's actual story, where a boy in class got her a huge box of candy in the shape of a heart. She was only in first grade at the time. And just so embarrassing, like just that, where you feel like the whole class is looking. And it's precious and it's innocent. And gave the mom, you know, Elizabeth Baxter gets a chance to sit down with her girls and tell them about a deeper kind of love, you know, the love of God and the love of family. And that the boy meant no harm, but that you got a lot of time for that yet.
Great story. I can just see the little girl blushing scarlet red and, you know, shuffling her feet together and not knowing quite how to deal with it. Yeah, that's for
right.
Sure. Well, I can remember in elementary school delivering Valentines to certain young ladies. I never bought any candy. I didn't have any money to buy candy when I was that old.
Yeah, and I think that was fun to look back on our childhood. And like Mom mentioned earlier, it'll be nostalgic for adult readers to think about times when they grew up. But I know, having five siblings, I definitely got to borrow from some of our adventures and embarrassing moments growing up. So that was fun to go back and do that.
I wonder if kids still use the shoebox as the Valentine's Day mailbox like we used to do way back when, or has that gone out of style? I don't know.
I think they do. You know, our kids are, you know, our oldest one, Kelsey, has a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, but she has some friends with kids that are a little bit older, and they do still, I mean, they decorate that shoebox. They still take that time, and they walk around, and they pass out their Valentine's, so it's still quite the event.
Memories that stick with you forever. Where did the rest of these stories come from, Tyler? Is there some indication that there was at least inspiration from something that happened to you or your siblings when you were young?
Yeah, I mean, I think that because we know the Baxter family so well, do we know things inherently about them? And, you know, Ashley's a little more crazy and fun, and Carrie is maybe more reserved, and Aaron is a little shy. So we kind of knew those things about them to draw from. But then, of course, looking back at my elementary and middle school days and thinking about just what that was like and what that feeling's like, so many of those emotions are universal. So I'm sure that when my siblings get a chance to read the book, they'll notice certain things that were very... That looked very familiar, and I think it was important for us to have growing up, we had several places that were special to us, and we wanted the Baxter kids to have that too. So, like, for instance, in this book, it's a treehouse, and every time something exciting happens or they have something that they're dreaming about or worried about, they all kind of meet together at this treehouse and talk it through, and there's some sweet moments there for sure.
Yeah, there's a wonderful artist's rendering of the treehouse on the cover of the book. One other note, a lesson for younger kids in the family to learn. There's an older sister who is a whiz-bang at math. She's very smart. And, you know, we've seen that in families, too, where that can mean problems for the younger ones. Right, Karen?
Absolutely. You know, it's important that for parents, it's a good lesson for parents, and for kids to learn as well, that you have to be yourself. There's a really fun chapter we really enjoyed writing called The Big Lie, where Ashley has taken her area and her math book where she's supposed to be writing her math answers, and she's been drawing flower blossoms because that's what she wants to do. She's looking up one. I mean, obviously, math is not optional, but she just gets carried away with the beauty of the tree outside the window, and she's doing the flower blossoms, and now she's in big trouble. She's lied about it, and there's just a moment where she feels like, wow, her parents love Brooke more than her, and if she could only be like Brooke. I mean, this kind of thing comes up, and it really is, you know, it's really a moment where Ashley is able to go, and as the chapters play out, like, I don't have to be Brooke. And her parents can reassure her, look, we want you to be Ashley. We want you to draw. We love that you're an artist. But, you know, you still have to do your math. And there's the other lesson that we don't lie to people we love, you know, and we don't love people we lie to. So those lessons get to come in even while she's figuring out who she is and the parents are learning how to deal with kids that are different.
Everyone has different talents, whether it's art or math or whatever.
Hmm? Yes, exactly.
Give us an update, Karen. Our time begins to run short here, but an update. Last time we talked, your Baxter family books were being developed into a TV series, which I think was set to debut later this year. Is that still on schedule?
It's on schedule. They're actually, what happened to MGM Studios loved it, and they loved it so much they went back and decided to do an additional 16 episodes. So at the end of the day, we'll have 24 episodes that are finished and ready to go, and that should be by the end of summer. So now whether they decide to put it in the fall or whether it'll come out in the spring, it'll be ready to go, and they're just super excited. They wanted two seasons worth instead of just one because they thought it has a chance to be very, very successful. So really, really exciting.
Did you have any input on that as a screenwriter, or is that all done by somebody in Hollywood?
Well, you know, it's done by the guys in Hollywood, the guys and girls there, but then they let me read it, and I get a great chance to edit. So, like, every single script I have read, and I'm in love with them. And I have notes, but they're relatively, you know, small. They're relatively minor notes because they've picked such professionals. I feel like if you know the show This Is Us, it's kind of got that feeling of family, different angles of family and the angst and the faith and the hope that kind of goes into that. It's really going to be an incredible show.
It's a Baxter family children's story, Best Family Ever, co-written by Karen Kingsbury and her son, Tyler Russell. They've been visiting with us here today. Tyler, nice to meet you. Karen, good to talk with you again.
Thanks so much. Dave. Yeah, great talking with you.
All right, so long now.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
They have spent a lifetime caring for others, and now the time has come for others to care for them. LifeSteps Adult Day Health Services, a trusted provider of senior care for over 30 years, can help. Families are comforted knowing their loved one will be safe, receive meals, be medically monitored, and enjoy socialization, all designed to enhance their life in a comfortable, relaxed setting. Free trial visits. Call LifeSteps today at 724-283-1010 or visit lifesteps.net.
Well, Old Man Winter playing havoc with the basketball schedule, and that's no different for the Knock Knights. Hi, everyone. This is Scott Briggs inviting you to join me now on Monday night as the Knock Knights take on the Derry Trojans in a game that was scheduled for Friday. We've got all the action beginning at 7:15 with a tip-off at 7:30. Knock Basketball here on WISR is presented in part by the John W. Thoreau Cement Corporation of Saxonburg, Troy Allen Chevrolet in Slippery Rock, and Troy Allen Buick in Katanning, the law firm of Dylan McCandless, King, Coulter, and Graham, Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers, the Butler Health System's Faster Care. Butler County District Attorney Rich Goldinger and Heffron Tillotson's Mike McKee. It's Knock and Dairy in a postponed makeup. It'll be Monday night at 7:15 right here on WISR, WISR680.com, and the Trib Live High School Sports Network.
Did you buy a car, truck, or SUV last year thinking you were going to get 0% or some other low-rate finance offer and then drove off the lot with a much higher rate? Don't worry. Armco Credit Union has the solution. Refinance with us and get a 60-month loan on a 2016 or newer vehicle for just 2.24% APR. We've got low rates on older models, too. It's never been easier to join, so call any of our four branch locations today or visit us at armcocu.com for membership and rate information. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is federally insured by NCUA.
Coming up on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR listeners, my name is Dave Malarkey. We're going to be chatting with Patrice Sims, Vice President of Litigation for Earth Justice, also a former EPA attorney. Welcome. Nice to have you with us here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Earth Justice is a nonprofit environmental law organization, and I understand, Patrice, that you've just released a report to your examination of the Trump administration. Can you tell us a little bit about this report?
Sure, I'd love to. One of the things that was pretty clear during the Trump campaign and coming into the beginning of the administration was that he really intended to take an axe to some of our most critical environmental protections. These are things like protections on air pollution that causes heart attacks, strokes, and asthma attacks, and protections that prevent people from being exposed to toxic chemicals that cause cancer and neurological disorders and developmental disabilities. When the administration came in fact, especially under the administration of Scott Pruitt at the EPA, who was the head of that agency, the failed head of that agency has now been replaced by Andy Wheeler. EPA started swinging pretty wildly at many of these environmental protections, really in an attempt to roll back those protections for the benefit of industrial clients, commercial clients that the folks in those positions had prior to coming into government. And one of the things that happened, and it's the subject of our examination, is those efforts really ran into trouble. And they ran into trouble because they ran into the rule of law. And the Trump administration, under Pruitt and now Wheeler, when it comes to environmental rollbacks, quite fortunately for folks who breathe air and drink water, has been losing those cases in court at a fairly astonishing rate.
I would suppose that, you know, these environmental rollbacks would not have come as any surprise. Scott Pruitt, the former administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, as I recall, he's not there anymore, but as I recall, he had a long history of criticizing vehemently the EPA. And the current director, Andrew Wheeler, he's long been a lobbyist for the fossil fuel production industry, has he not?
That's absolutely right, and of course we see that past being reflected in the types of policies that both of those heads of the EPA have pursued during their time at the agency.
So,
you know, when we look at why the administration has failed so miserably at pursuing some of these, some of it is things that we should be really concerned about. And that we should be really glad that our courts are doing the job to ensure that even those in the highest levels of government are held to comply with the law.
Well, your organization, Earth Justice, has brought more lawsuits than anybody else. Can you talk about some of those that may have specific implications for us here in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, for sure. So there's a couple of areas where the administration has taken several different kinds of steps to roll back protections. One of those, when it comes to smog pollution, those poor air quality days that we're all familiar with, or at least all of us who live in metropolitan areas and certain rural areas, when you know authorities tell us, hey, this is a day, if you have asthma, you probably ought to stay inside as much as you can. Well, there was an attempt early on to essentially excuse states from implementing the smog protection standards that are required under the Federal Clean Air Act. We immediately challenged that decision of the agency, and the agency withdrew the waiver that it was trying to extend to the states with respect to ozone or smog compliance. And then there were a couple of other cases that also related to ozone where the courts essentially said, no, EPA, you have to do what the law says. Similarly, there are issues associated with coal ash disposal, an issue that certainly is relevant in Pennsylvania. The products of burning coal result in these ashes that are essentially waste that are put in these huge repositories and can leak chemicals, dangerous chemicals, into the groundwater and surface waters and can ultimately affect people. Those are among the things that we've seen.
Talk a little bit, if you will, about MATS, M-A-T-S. That's a role in the EPA. What's that all about, Patrice?
Yeah, what people sometimes refer to as the MATS rule is the mercury air toxics rule. And this is a rule, first of all, that was really a long time in the coming. Under the Clean Air Act, EPA was supposed to adopt a rule to control these toxic air pollutants like mercury that has neurotoxic impacts, especially on the developing children's brains and especially dangerous for pregnant mothers. And mercury, of course, the largest source of mercury by far, and the vast majority of mercury emissions in the United States now come from coal-fired power plants. The Clean Air Act had said, hey, these standards need to be in place by 2000 to control mercury emissions from power plants. It took until 2012 for those final standards to actually be adopted. And most facilities around the country have now complied with those standards to the great benefit of the public, both with respect to those toxic pollutions, but also these associated benefits and reduction of other kinds of pollutants that are also emitted and are also controlled when you control for mercury, things that cause cancer and stroke and heart attack. And one of the things that the administration has proposed to do now is to withdraw this mercury rule, to essentially undermine this rule and allow all of those facilities that are now controlling those thousands and thousands of tons of these pollutants to turn off that control equipment and go back to emitting those toxic chemicals into the air. Really troubling. And this is a rule that when EPA adopted it, EPA itself estimated that it could save up to 11,000 lives a year. And undoing it is just an astonishing thing for the agency to be thinking about doing.
Do you have any ballpark figure on just how many times Earth Justice, your organization, has taken the Trump administration to court over the past 2 years?
Sure. Since Trump administration began about 2 years ago, we filed about 118 lawsuits dealing with the various activities that are contrary to statutory provisions, these various actions that the administration has taken. To date, we've seen major decisions in 17 of those cases, and we have won 16 of those 17. An illustration of the degree to which this administration is sort of flouting the law as it's pursuing this agenda intended to benefit the polluters and just benefit the public health.
How is Earth Justice funded, Patrice? How can you afford to bring all these cases to court? You have private contributions, or how do you afford it?
That's a great question. And one of the things I would note in answering that question is we represent communities, civic organizations, small environmental nonprofit organizations around the country, large environmental organizations, and workers and labor organizations in the court when they realize that something is happening that's going to cause harm to them or their families, their communities, their constituencies. And we do not charge our clients one penny for the work that we do. We do all of our work pro bono. And funding for the organization is important, and we are funded almost entirely by donations, individuals who give to us, and foundations who believe in the work that we're doing and support us by providing funding.
The report that you've been telling us about, Patrice Sims, 2 years of overruling Trump, is that available for the general public to read if they so desire?
It certainly is. Anyone who's interested either in that report or more generally in the work that we're doing as an organization and the issues that are affecting people around the country can take a look at our website, earthjustice.org, earthjustice, one word, .org, and everything we're doing is right there.
Earth Justice, the country's largest environmental law group, and we've been speaking for the last few minutes here on It's Your Turn with Patrice Sims, who is Vice President of Litigation for Earth Justice and a former EPA attorney. Thank you, Patrice. Nice to chat with you today. Thanks for spending a little time with us here.
Great. Thank you, David. We appreciate it.
Sure.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler answers your questions about cremation. Here are the most asked questions. Should you consider cremation for your loved one? Is it appropriate for your family? How would they feel about it? What's the appropriate funeral service, and what's the cost? These are all good questions. Cremation offers three advantages: simplicity, convenience, and it's local. Thompson Miller's cremation services are right here in Butler at our own newly created facility. We assure you that your loved one will never leave our care at any point in the process. Let's talk it over privately here at Thompson Miller in Butler, or call us at 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or online at www.thompson-miller.com. Thompson Miller, at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
In the new year, make a resolution to be better informed. Bookmark PAPost.org and make it part of your daily reading. While you're at it, subscribe to The Context, so you'll receive a curated list of important stories in your inbox every day. You can be confident that the reporting you receive from PA Post is trustworthy, because PA Post is a nonprofit, nonpartisan news organization whose first priority is to report on Pennsylvania policies and issues, holding those in power accountable. Jump in at PAPost.org.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Enchanted me.